At Exact Sciences, we're on a mission to outsmart cancer. Through our growing portfolio of genomic tests, we are helping to enable more informed, intelligent, and individualized oncology decisions. Insights from the Oncotype DX Breast Recurrence Score Test, the OncoExTra Test, and more are changing how cancer is treated for more than 1.5 million patients. See how we're enabling the next era of personalized cancer care at precisiononcology.exactsciences.com.
Time travel to fun in the 16th century at the Maryland Renaissance Festival. 10 stages, food, pubs, shopping, jousting. Saturday, Sundays, and Labor Day Monday through October 20th. Tickets only online at MarylandRenaissanceFestival.com. Save big on admission through September 8th.
Hello, everybody. And today I have a very special guest today. Don't forget, you're on The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And we have an amazing guest today. And her name is Carolyn Willman. And she's just a thriving entrepreneur. She holds three thriving businesses. And one of them is republishing books. Another one is sweepstakes. And another one is marketing. And she's going to tell you a little about each business. And she's going to tell you how she became such a success. Because after doing this for so long, she has really understood the ins and outs of becoming a real successful entrepreneur, and she's going to explain how she went about it and explain about her businesses and explain how you yourself could take some of her advice and apply it to your own life so you could become either an entrepreneur or a winner, or actually start to go into some of these things and start to participate. And she's going to tell you, so I'll leave it up to her to tell you the rest. So Carolyn, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to meet you, and I'm so excited to have you on the show. Tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Well, I'm known as the Contest Queen. So that's the first business I created. And I created it as a hub of all things contesting, because in 2001, I got caught in the dot-com bubble and found myself unemployed. And I read an article in Reader's Digest about a couple that entered sweepstakes as a hobby and how they enhanced their lifestyle. And I thought, what a good idea. I don't have to work. I'll just win stuff. It does not work that way. I wish it did. But it can enhance your lifestyle. So you could win prizes that you don't have to pay for, like grocery gift cards. So now you can save that money, or you can win things that might not be in your budget, like a brand new fridge or a car, or you can win things that money can't buy, like trips and experiences to meet celebrities or go to exotic places. And honestly, I think it's the best hobby ever. Thousands of people enter sweepstakes as a hobby every day, and companies spend billions of dollars running legitimate promotions. So there's enough prizes to go around for everybody. And that's what I love teaching people how to do. And that kind of stepped into the next couple of businesses. So I graduated business administration with a marketing major and did all, you name the job in the marketing department, I had done it. Mm-hmm. And sweepstakes is one tool in a marketer's tool belt. And it should be part of a whole entire marketing plan. You know, I tell companies, don't just run a sweepstakes for the sake of running a sweepstakes.
Yeah.
And I, as the Contest Queen, I was being approached by companies to help them with their giveaways. And so I started another company called Idea Majesty. And that's my sweepstakes marketing company, where I help viral giveaways. You know, every once in a while, you'll see me on social and I'll be doing a video promoting some giveaway or another. And that's when I've been hired to do that. And then this lady here, actually, she's on both sides. This is Helene Hadsall. And she's famous for winning every prize she ever desired, including a fully furnished home. Wow. And I had a podcast in 2008 before it was cool. I wish I had kept it, but life didn't go down that road. And I went to visit her in her home in Alvarado, Texas. And while I was there, she said to me, nobody's going to teach maneuvers for wishcraft, which is the subtitle of the book, after I'm gone. I need you to teach it. And I think she asked me because nobody in her family at that time was going to pick up her gauntlet. And I had already written some sweepstakes books. So I was already an author at that point. I was entrepreneurial, which she did not have an entrepreneurial bone in her body. And I was also techie, which she also was not. But you have to give her a little bit of slack because she was in her 80s at the time. So then I said, okay. And then my life just did a this. Like, I nearly lost my businesses. I went bankrupt. I got a divorce. Like, it just, everything just crumbled. And finally, in 2019, I know it took a hot minute, 9 years, almost 10 years after she passed away, I thought, I better do something with this before. She only had one son left. Like, she had three children, but two had predeceased her, unfortunately. And her son, Dyke, I said, I better phone Dyke Hatzell and buy the rights to the books. Because if I don't and he passes away, I'm not going to fulfill my promise to his mom. And so I did that. And so in, I started republishing her works. And then I knew, I tried to put it off, but I knew I had to come up with another business, another website to house all the books because they didn't fit either place. I mean, you can tell by the title of this one, In Contact with Other Realms. It's a bit woo-woo. That does not fit on a sweepstakes website. It does not fit on a marketing website. So I created Words for Winning as a publishing company. And so I've done all her books. I've also been starting them on Audible. Three of them are already on Audible. I've been translating them into different languages. And through incidents, now, this is a good lesson for every single one of your listeners. When what we think is a problem presents itself to us, it's always an opportunity. Helene always called them projects. It's not a problem. It's a project. I think she learned that from Jose Silva because she was also Jose Silva's assistant. If any of your listeners are familiar with the Silva method.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I got an email. Now, you are an author and will appreciate this. I get an email from Amazon saying the copyright page in this book is wrong. And if you don't fix it, we're pulling it. You have 5 business days or you have 5 days. I don't even know if it was business days. So I panicked. And you ask them questions and they don't tell you. They just say, here, go refer to this page. So my mistake was I copied the copyright the way she had written it in the last publication she did as I did the third edition. Mm-hmm. And that's not good for today's publishing method. So I figured it out in time, thankfully. But in the meantime, I was contacting her previous publishers to make sure they didn't hold any copyright just to be safe. You know, CYA, you learn in marketing, cover your butt. And I realized that the second publisher of her book was Tag Powell, was Top of the Mountain Publishing. And then I figured out it was owned by Tag Powell. And then I realized that name was familiar. So I started digging through the books I had gotten from her library and found one of his books. I thought, aha, she knew him. And he was also an author. So I found random addresses and I mailed letters out. I just randomly mailed letters out to all these places. I didn't know what was going to happen. And he called me one day. Now, he was at the end of his life. He had had a stroke. He had some COPD. And he had published a lot of books. And I sent him copies of Helene's books. And he was flabbergasted at the changes from when he did books back in the 80s. And 70s, 80s, and 90s, he was a publisher, to now. Like, it night and day. And then I said, so who's taking care of your legacy? And he said, no one. I said, well, how about I buy some of your books? And he said, okay. So I ended up driving down to Florida and bought the rights to 10 of his books and 5 of his audio series. And sadly, he passed a year ago, but I got it before he'd left. And he knew that this way his books would be in good hands. And so I'm so excited. I published this just before I went into a sweepstakes convention. Yes, there are sweepstakes conventions. And I published his book. So I don't even have a banner yet because it's only been like 2 weeks. I'm so excited. So that's his book number 10. I'm halfway to you, Stacy. I'm catching up. I'll catch up. You just wait. Because I have 9 more of his to do. And then I'm doing translations. So every time I translate one, I consider it a separate edition because it literally has to have its own ISBN and everything.
Yeah.
So this will soon have 5 editions of it because it's already English and Spanish, and I'm working on German, French, and Italian. It's so exciting. Well, you know what it's like publishing a book. It feels so good. Like you're, I don't want to say birthing a baby because that's harder, but.
No, that's awesome. I love it. You know, where did you come up with the idea to republish the books?
You know, one of the teachers that I follow, who's, so 2 authors changed my life. And everybody probably has a story of an author that has changed the trajectory of their life. Helene is obviously one of them for me because she was in sweepstakes and I learned from her and now I'm maintaining her legacy. So that's life changing. And only because she asked me to, I don't think I would have done it otherwise. And that's how I started down that path.
Yeah.
But the other author that changed my life was Robert Ojado. And he wrote a book called Transforming Fate into Destiny. I love those types of inspirational, metaphysical, motivational self. I don't want to call them really self-help, but they kind of are books. And one of the things he said is fate is the hand you're dealt and destiny is how you play it.
Mm-hmm.
So he says that we're all fated with certain things. And I believe that I must have had a soul contract with Helene and Tag because it's kind of falling onto me. And I had a knowing when I was registering the license, the business license for my second company. I was standing in line. This is before they went digital. I was standing in line in the government office. I can't remember even what the government office was, you know, business, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the paperwork all filled out and I'm standing there and I thought, oh, there's one more company. I knew 10 years before I started it, there was another company. I knew it. And Helene in her book has a chapter called Desire versus Knowing. And desire is really excited. And I want this and I hope it happens. It's like when you buy a lottery ticket, you're just excited and hopeful. But knowing is calm and down. It's almost like it goes from excitement's like up here and knowing is down in like your solar plexus.
Yeah.
And I just knew there was another business. And it took 10 years, but it showed up. So I kind of feel like it was on my path and I was destined to do it. And I also know that after, because I have all these languages to translate and more audible books. And I have 9 more books. Like I bought, like I said, I bought 10. So this is one. I have 9 more. I think I have enough work to keep me going till 2026. Like I'm not kidding. But I do know also that there are more authors coming. I just don't know who they are and when, but they will present themselves at the right time. So I don't have to worry about, well, what else am I going to do after that? I just kind of already know that they're just going to show up.
Yeah. Wow. I love it.
So I think, people can take that into their own lives. Like you'll know there's certain things coming. But you also have to take action. Like these books don't just publish themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you're doing a podcast. You're actually doing it. Like you had the idea and then you had to do all the steps, you know, like figure out what you're doing, get yourself a nice mic, get a nice backdrop, sign up to different sites so you can find appropriate guests, maybe get an editor. Depending on how you're running your podcast, all the different steps. So you took those actions. You just didn't lie in bed and go, I want a podcast. You just didn't show up. You took
right.
People forget that it's important. But then when you were taking those steps, stuff started to come at you.
Yeah.
Right. Like whatever you put out, you get back. So then people start contacting you or said, you mentioned I'm working on a new podcast. Someone says, oh, coincidentally, there's no coincidence. I know a fantastic editor. I'll put you in touch with them. Oh, this is the mic I bought. It was so good. I highly recommend you go purchase that.
Right.
And you're like, oh, look at all this stuff. It's coming. It's helping me on this path.
Yeah.
And I think it was Jack Canfield that said, now I might be wrong, so don't come at me if I'm you take one step forward and the when you take one step towards the universe takes nine steps towards you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. It does.
So that's so I just kind of fell into this. So I think, like Robert said, there's certain things that are fated. And I think I have a soul contract with Helene and Tag and her family. Like, I don't think it's an accident. Some things are not, there are no coincidences, as Jose Silva says.
Right. No, 100%. 100%. I think everything happens for a reason. And I think it's great that you took, you know, two of the things that you did, you really enjoyed doing, and you actually turned something that you enjoyed into a bit thriving business, which is amazing. And then, you know, you carried on your friend's legacy, you know, and you turned that into a thriving business, you know, for people who are out there that want to, you know, really elevate to the levels of success that you've elevated to, what would be some of the advice you'd like to give others, you know, when looking to go into businesses and really they have an idea and they really, you know, think that they could, it could be a successful idea, you know, what's your advice to them?
Well, I'm really grounded, and I always want to remind people, like, this is a publishing business. A lot of people that I work with, because of the woo-woo books and a lot of mindset books, they're in a spiritual business. They're doing this. It's a business. They forget the business part of it. Like, I'm a little bit behind on my expense reports. Accounting is not my favorite thing. I can't really hand it off to an assistant because she won't know. They won't know all the things. So yeah. It's a job I really have to do myself. And it's, of course, tied to the money of the business. So I really need to do it. So I've got most of it to the accountant and the bookkeeper, but I have to do the expense reports. Oh, I don't like doing the business part of the business.
Yeah.
But I have to do it because I'm a grown up and I put my big girl panties on and sit down and do those things. And I make it a little bit fun. I have two screens. So on one screen, I'll put on, you know, a Netflix or a YouTube video and have something slightly entertaining going on in the background while I'm doing something extremely mundane. And I feel like, okay, at least I'm learning something or being entertained while I'm doing this job I don't like. But and it's not all glamour. Like, the other problem is, you know, I'm doing all these videos and posts and stuff about, like, the sweepstakes convention that I just went to, or the Silva Method training that I went to as part of my process of becoming a Silva instructor. And it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work. And my other business stuff doesn't stop. So I'm still checking emails. I'm still checking in for clients. I'm still, you know, that's, so you're still doing all of this and you're doing all of the fun stuff. And then people look on social and think, oh, why is their business so great? But I here have to, you know, answer 100 emails and create all my graphics. And it's not all glamour. Like, there was a YouTube, in 2011, oh my goodness, it's been a long time now. TLC wanted to make a show like Extreme Couponing about sweepstakers, and they called it High Stakes Sweepers. Mm-hmm. But they had to recreate every single contest in the show because you can't manifest luck and prizes like you can couponing. You can control couponing. You can't control. So I had the producer one day say to me, so what grand prizes do you expect to win in the next 2 weeks? And I'm like, all of them? I don't know. Look, I can't make it happen. I can't make it happen. So behind the scenes, they're like recreating things that we actually did win, like things that actually did happen. And then at one point I was trying to do this thing with an instant prize and it wasn't working. I was so frustrated. And we were crammed into my office and I had this big camera over my shoulder. My daughter was on my lap and, like, we're all, like, crammed in and the room's getting super hot. And finally they gave up and they went to film something else. They were interviewing other people. And so she says, you have 20 minutes. So I thought, I was so frustrated. I sat there and I did it and I hit the instant win while the cameras were in the other room. Like, you can't plan stuff.
Yeah, no. There's certain things you cannot plan. No, you have to just kind of go with it and just see where it takes you.
So, but that's the whole thing, right? Like you can't plan some of the stuff, and there's a lot of behind the scenes things that people don't realize. But you just have to take action. Like I said, you, and some things, like I have failed at so many things too. Like I said, when I was going through my, I've had this business. So I had to kind of reinvent myself because I had a business with my ex.
Mm-hmm.
And my first books were written under that. But then when we got a divorce, I started Contest Queen. And we just basically, it worked out well because he had his own thing and I had my own thing. So we basically just sliced the business and separated it. And I registered mine and he registered his. And that was the end of that. It was actually quite easy, thankfully. And then, of course, I had to redo all of that. But I had 1 year where my whole business, I made $6,000 the whole year. Like I thought I was going to lose the business.
Yeah.
But I kept going. Like, and people think, oh, you're... Yeah, now it's, I'm in a good spot and everything's thriving. But boy, if you can equate it to a garden, there was a couple of years there where there was drought and there was like terrible seeds and there was grasshoppers eating all the leaves. And it was like, you know, and I had, you know, the peanuts were weevily and, you know, I kept going and fertilizing and working it and tilling the soil. And eventually then everything started to thrive, but you have to keep going. But I also knew it was my path. You know, sometimes you have to just give up on something if it's not working.
Right.
Yeah. Like like I said, I had a podcast and I ran from 2008 to 2010 and I wish I had downloaded every episode, but I didn't.
Right.
Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And you know, now I'm kicking myself because I lost all that.
Right.
I have some of it, but not all of it.
Right.
What are you going to do? I can't cry over it. It's gone.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know? And I had to stop it when I was going through the bankruptcy because I couldn't afford it. And I was finding it hard to get guests and I was struggling and I didn't want to go on the air. And it was in those days, like I did upload some to YouTube and people complain about the sound quality. And I go, you do understand, because they get mad that I wasn't adjusting the mics. And I said, you do realize, but when I recorded it, we each phoned in on a landline to a computer and there was no adjusting.
Yeah.
It was really rudimentary.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best it gets. And I was a terrible interviewer. Oh my God, I was awful. You'd think I'd have been better having been a Toastmaster. I was a Toastmaster for 2 or 3 years at that point, but I've been a Toastmaster now for 18 years. So I'm a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend it, by the way, for anybody that struggles with public speaking or interviews or anything. Toastmasters is the best program I've ever done. That's why I've stayed with it for so long.
Yeah,
I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a big hit during COVID because a lot of clubs were in person. And then when they shifted to Zoom, a lot of people quit. But actually speaking on digital platforms is a whole different skill set than standing in front of a group of people. But you still need the certain things don't change. So I highly recommend it. But oh my God, did I just lose my train of thought? I did.
Well, no, you were saying the difference between speaking, you know, in person and speaking on digital, you know, is totally two different things, but you still use some of the same skills, which is true because you do use some of the same skills. You know, it's just that when you're speaking, you know, digitally, you know, the person is still there, but they're, you know, sometimes it can be more intimidated for other individuals when they see the people right in front of them. Where, you know, for me, I always looked at when I do public speaking, they're just my friends. That's why they're here, because they're my friends and they want to hear what I have to say. And so when I would walk on stage, I really no anxiety. You always get a little butterflies right before you walk on stage. You know, and then once you walk on stage, it kind of like starts to float away. But if you look at those people as your friends and not anything else, then you feel more comfortable and you're there to share a message that they want to hear, you know, and that's how I always tell people when they get nervous about speaking in front of people.
But it's a good skill to have. And so, you know, like I've But I don't talk about those. I even ran a convention once up here in Canada because I was saying off air that the reason we're talking so late in August is because the first week of August I was in Las Vegas at the annual National Sweepstakes Convention. Yes, people that like to enter sweepstakes get together once a year and learn from each other and help each other win. And of course, there's always prizes at these events. And then I came back and unpacked and repacked and went to Connecticut to take the Silva method from a gentleman who was the youngest person ever certified by Jose Silva to be an instructor in 1971. He's been teaching ever since. And that was phenomenal. And I do prefer those kind of courses in person, even though you can take them on Zoom, because for me as a student, like, and everybody learns different. Some people thrive on the Zoom. I don't.
At Exact Sciences, we're on a mission to outsmart cancer. Through our growing portfolio of genomic tests, we are helping to enable more informed, intelligent, and individualized oncology decisions. Insights from the Oncotype DX Breast Recurrence Score Test, the OncoExTra Test, and more are changing how cancer is treated for more than 1.5 million patients. See how we're enabling the next era of personalized cancer care at precisiononcology.exactsciences.com.
Ah, the sizzle of McDonald's sausage. It's enough to make you crave your favorite breakfasts. Enough to head over to McDonald's. Enough to make you really wish this commercial were scratch and sniff.
And if you're a sausage person, now get two satisfyingly savory sausage McGriddles, sausage biscuits, or sausage burritos for just $3.33. Or mix and match. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right. So I tell people, you have to take the path that works for you. And I know right. myself well enough to know that I do better in person. So, and I also like the energy of the other students.
Yes.
I find it helps elevate the learning, because we have, you know, we have auras around us and you can feel other people. That's why you can walk in a room and say, ooh, the vibe feels off, or ooh, it's very exciting in here. Well, that's your energy. You're feeling everybody else's energy. So right. I really prefer that. And so I took it from Ken Casilla, and that was exciting. So I'm actually taking the mastery class this December. So I'm always, that's the other thing. You don't stop.
Right.
You know, we're here. You don't stop learning till you die.
Yes.
So never. I'm still learning. So I'm taking the Silva Mastery class this December. I'm so excited. Back in Connecticut. And so I know. So you keep going, but I don't really. So back to the failure, the convention. I tried to run one in Canada like 15 years ago and it failed miserably. Like I think I lost $15,000 out of my pocket. And that was low. Like it could have been way worse than that.
Right.
But nobody talks about those failures. They only talk about, oh, look, I published this book and this one's a bestseller. They don't go, oh yeah, this tanked, this failed, this flopped. Nobody talks about those.
Yeah.
And so true. The people go, well, why am I struggling? No, I watch all these other people and they didn't. Oh yeah, they did. They just don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, they even said, like, Alex Mosey talks about it many times. He's had, like, I think in the beginning, he had like 7 failed businesses, you know, until he actually finally, you know, he profited off his next business. But he had failure after failure after failure. And you hear many stories like that. And it's true. You do hear about all the positive things, but you don't hear too much about the negative. You will hear some people who have, you know, have made it to the top. They will go back and they will talk about their, you know, their failures, you know, and, but everybody goes through their ups and downs. Everybody goes through, you know, the good and the bad, you know, and that's how we learn. We take, you know, the things that don't happen exactly the way we anticipated. We use those as learning mechanisms and they give us resilience, and we use it. So in the future, we make ourselves better, you know, and it works.
Yeah, my daughter had that. She's in university. She's taking illustration. I'm so proud of her. She's a born artist. And she was participating in her first art show. It was a collaborative art show. So she was only putting in 2 pieces and she had to, you know, get copies of them and frame them and price them and do all the things. And then she realized that she'd priced them too low. And I said, that's okay, because this is how you learn. Like,
yes.
You didn't fail. You just learned what not to do next time.
Right.
Right. Like, she didn't really lose anything, so to speak. I mean, she wasn't going to lose money, but she wasn't going to make any money either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But she learned through the process. And so she was kicking herself. And I'm like, why? That's great. You now know what not to do next time. You now know that you have to take into account this and see how much time that takes and figure that out. And you've done it once, and the next time it's going to be better.
Yes.
And so I reframed it for her. And when I did that, she felt a lot better. And I think a lot of people need to give themselves some slack when they come across this, because the negative self-talk is terrible. Oh, I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? I can't believe it. And I'm an idiot. And only, you know, a failure would do that. No, you're a human being mucking around on a planet that's flying through space, learning as you go. And, and, you know, it's not that big a deal. Like, if you're not going to remember it in 10 minutes, and in 100 years, is it really going to matter? Well, some things, yeah. Like, I'm hoping that my doing this work will keep this around for a long time.
100%.
So I'm hoping that. But is anybody going to remember that I published a book a week late?
Right.
No. Is anybody going to remember that, you know, I don't know. I can't think of another example at the moment, but it doesn't matter.
Right. Like, if there was a type,
does it matter that I didn't make my bed this morning? No.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Don't sweat about stuff that doesn't matter.
And these are things that everybody does. So it's like, you know, you're not the only one, you know, that's what people have to realize. They're not the only one. You know, a lot of people are, we're too self-critical of ourselves. And I think that's the biggest problem, is that we are too hard on ourselves, when everybody, you know, we all have the same emotions. We all feel the same way. And we all do a lot of the same things, you know, and it's just like, if you get your eyebrows done and, you know, before you get your eyebrows done, and you, let's say you're going somewhere and you forgot that you're going somewhere and you have some eyebrows growing in, you're like, oh my God, everybody's going to see my eyebrows. Nobody sees your eyebrows. You know what
I'm
saying?
Funny you should say that, because I had them waxed a couple of weeks ago before I went away, and she made them too thin. So I have not been plucking them. Can anybody tell? No. No, only if I went like this and went up to the camera and like, no, thankfully that's the other blessing I have. I wear glasses, so it kind of hides it a little, but I don't sweat it. You know, like, I don't have a hairdresser appointment till mid-September. My hair's growing out. Does it matter? No, I look fine.
Exactly.
People were too picky.
Yes.
You know, like, just.
It's too self-conscious.
Yeah, we're too self-conscious. I always say, you know, to go dance. What was the saying? Someone said, go and dance anyway, because everyone's too busy looking at their phones. Like, I think it used to be everyone's too busy looking at their own belly button, implying that more people are worried about themselves than worried about you.
Yeah.
But now everybody's looking at their phones. And yeah, I feel like a late bloomer, because I'm almost 58. And it feels like it's taken me to 50, like the last like 8 years, before I really got into the groove of not caring what other people think, doing, you know, going to the beat of my own drum and just thriving in my own lane and discovering that everybody likes me in this lane. And I'm like, why didn't I do this sooner? So that's another message. Don't worry about what other people think.
Yes. And I think that
you can do that. It's, but like I said, I feel like I'm where I am now, where I wanted to be at 25. It's taken me like 30 years longer to get to where I wanted to be, but that's okay. I did get here.
But you know, like, I, it's so funny you said that, because most of the successful business people that I have met in my lifetime did not reach success until they were in our age bracket. And, you know, a lot of times, like, I even remember I took this course and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be the oldest one in this class, you know, and I go in there and everyone is my age or older. And it's like, so, you know, I, it's, And when I met a lot of successful people and I talked to them, it wasn't until our age group that a lot of them hit the success route. You know, there was like a small percentage that maybe got their shit together at a really early age, you know, but that was like a very small, under 5%, you know, maybe 3%, you know, but the rest of us all figured everything out between 40 to 60. It was like, or you know, around that age group, it was when people started really putting the pieces together and then started really hitting the gas pedal. And then things started to really have a snowball effect. But, you know, for most people, you know, it's a process of learning, you know, and when you do get into your 50s, you start really figuring out who you are, not caring so much what other people think,
That's a big one.
and knowing what you want, and then a lot of people having the courage to go after it, you know, and those are the people who succeed, you know. But it's really our age bracket that starts to happen because it's a process. It's definitely a process.
And also, this book, and I like the title because Helene reminds us, she calls it the name it and claim it game. Because this is a game. And we need to play. And we need to do it with a lighter attitude. Like, try something. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter. Try something else. And have like I'll give you a funny example. I planted some vegetables in the back garden and I had more plants than space. So I thought I'm just gonna put them in the front garden. Doesn't matter if there's tomatoes growing with the flowers. And I put one beside the front steps because it had a lattice handrail. And I thought, oh, if it gets big, I can tie the tomatoes to it. It's perfect. My boyfriend George goes, I don't think that's a good idea. It doesn't get a lot of sun there. That plant's not going to do very well. I'm like, well, I don't have any other spots. So that's where it's going. That's the biggest plant we've got.
Oh,
We had to
really?
trim it back so much. It's like through the stairs, almost blocking sometimes. We've had to cut it back, but we don't want to cut too many of the tomatoes off. This thing is huge. He's like, I cannot believe this thing is the biggest one. And he thought, no way. So you just never know. Just play with
Never
stuff, put it there. What did I have to lose by sticking the tomatoes in the front? Nothing. Does it matter? Does it break some rule that vegetables aren't supposed to be with flowers? No. You can just do whatever you want. I can make the whole thing vegetables in the front if I want. There's no rules. But we have these ideas of things the way they should be. And where did we get those ideas? And who said so?
Our environment put labelism and stigmatisms and the way, you know, people come from different environments and, you know, they stay within their own environment and they say, well, this is how it should be because this is how they grew up, you know, not realizing that just because one person does it one way does not mean that's going to work for another person. Everybody has their own way of doing things. We don't know what's going to work and what's not going to work. We're, you know, it depends where you are in the world. It depends, you know, what you're doing, what you're trying to sell. You know, there's so many factors to put into place. You can't be judgmental and judge something when you don't know all the facts, you know. You know, because everything is different. Just where you live alone can make a huge difference on how well a product will sell. You know, just
Oh,
by
absolutely.
so many small factors that can be huge factors, you know. So it's really, you know, people, you know, can't make really judgments until they understand the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like the sweepstakes hobby. So I tell people first they have to make the hobby their own because what works for me might not work for them. But there's certain fundamental rules like always set up an email address just for entering sweepstakes. Use a sweepstakes site to find legitimate sweepstakes because they make it easy for you because they're all aggregated into one spot. Always read the rules. Like those kind of things are important. But I live in Canada and my American counterparts down in the States, they pay taxes on winnings over $600. I don't pay taxes on any winnings. But I always say I would happily give Uncle Sam my cut if I could win like my American friends. So when I was at the sweepstakes convention and Tom Cavalli, they were introducing the expert panel. So it was myself and Tom Cavalli, who owns I Win Contests, and Christy Rochester, who owns Sweep Sheet, and Rachel McTavis, who owns Sweeping America. So we're introducing ourselves and how long we've been sweeping. So I've been sweeping since 2000, and I've been sweeping, I think, the longest out of everybody. Since 2001, I've won close to $400,000 in prizes, including 24 trips. Tom Wow. started after reading my first book, You Can't Win If You Don't Enter, in 2008. He's passed $1 million in prizes, and he's at 90, he just won his 92nd trip. Because in Wow. the United States, the opportunities to win are so much bigger because we only have 36 million people in our country. That's less than the state of California. So yeah. of course, companies, now you think of it from a business perspective, companies, when they've got their marketing budgets, of course they're going to be, you've got 36 million people or 360 million people.
Right.
Where's your budget going to be? Mm-hmm. Right. Your marketing budget's going to be like 10 times the size. So yes. the opportunities, and also he also lives in Florida. So he has opportunities, more opportunities for Disney World, for Universal Studios, for cruises, because yes. they're all local to him. Like he can drive to Miami to get on a boat. He can drive to Cape Canaveral to get on a boat.
Right.
Right. Like he goes to Disney all the time. Like I think he's won season passes before, things like yeah. that. So he's in a different, now I've got one of my sweepstakes friends. I do virtual contest club meetings because they're actually clubs that were in person. Like if you watch the movie, The Prize Winner of Defiance, Ohio, or read the book.
Yeah.
They had sweepstakes clubs back in the day. And Helene actually talks about in this book, sweepstakes clubs that she belonged to. But of course with COVID that stopped. So I missed all my sweepy friends. So I started holding club meetings online. Mm-hmm. And one of our members, he lives in rural Idaho. Well, his opportunities to win things, there's going to be less than Tom because he's not near a major city. So yeah. he can't win like I live near Toronto. So there's always movie premieres and theater and concerts and stuff. So I win. I think 1 year, George and I, every couple of weeks, we're literally going to something like a movie premiere, concert tickets, theater tickets. Like it was ridiculous. It was a lot of fun, actually. Free dates.
Yeah.
With that. And I also don't say free. I say cheap because I should say cheap because you still have to pay for your parking. And then, of course, you get a drink when you're at the concert and you might have right. dinner out first. I mean, you're still paying for all that. But then the yeah. concert tickets themselves were free.
Right.
So I remind people that nothing is 100% free in that sense. Right. But, yes. Oh my gosh, where was I going with this? This is my brain. I have three businesses. So I'm doing this all day long. Okay, I'm talking on this one. I'm talking on that one. I got to send an email from this one. I got to post for that one. So, you know, when you're in somewhere rural, well, you're not going to those concerts. You're not going to the, you know, the local radio station might have something, but yes. it's not the same. So your opportunities are less. And then you're just entering statewide and nationals versus really local, like, you know, right. Chicago, New York, LA. You know, I have friends that live near Disneyland and Hollywood and stuff. And she's always winning like the big LA premiere tickets
or wow.
things like that. I'm like, ooh, I wish I lived close. I'd be your plus one.
Wow.
Right. So it depends. And that's like you're saying with the business. Right. So
yeah.
depending on where you live and who you're now, it's easier digitally because basically we do have the whole world open to us, but there's all these other forces that we don't have any control over. And we have to take that into account when we're doing this.
Wow. Is there any trick to winning? Because you've done a really good job.
They have to be prepared to lose. Now, this is the thing. People go, you're so lucky. You're winning stuff all the time. But they don't see me entering for an hour a day. I enter probably 150 giveaways and I might win one. Like you win. Right. Like when I'm entering now, I have not been entering steadily for the last couple of months because I've been publishing books and traveling. So that just slices off the entry time. But when I'm entering consistently, I usually win somewhere between 5 and 15 prizes a month. And I count everything. Like if I play an online instant win game and I win a soda bottle, like a yeah. bottle of pop, that is a prize at $1.59. I won that. right up to what was the biggest prize I won? Oh, I did a video recently and I showed the 100-inch TV that was so big we couldn't even fit it in the house. It went into the garage. George was very happy. It takes up the whole wall. He has this big garage and we put up this 100-inch TV and now it's the man cave. Everybody comes over and watches the hockey game or the baseball game or football, like whatever's happening at the moment. And they'll all hang out there because it's huge. Things like that are trips. I love the trips. Like one year, I took my sister and my brother-in-law and George and I, we all went to Mexico for a week, totally paid for. Right? Like, so, I count everything in between. And so I win, but people don't notice that if you're entering, let's see, my math is terrible. That's thankfully there's calculators because of my math. So if I do 150 a day times 30 days, that's 4,500 entries a month, right? And if I win 55, how many did I lose? 3,900, 4,495 I lost. And nobody looks at that, right? They only look at, I think Babe Ruth had that stat, didn't he? He batted what? 350 or something, but that means he's missing the other 650. But nobody looks at that. Everyone goes, "Oh my God, he was the greatest hitter of all time." You only look at what he won, not what he lost. And so it's the same thing. But I don't focus on the ones that I lost. I look at the whole hobby. Like I have a little Chromebook and I got a little TV stand, a special computer tele like breakfast table kind of thing. That lap table, but with legs. So I'll sit on my spot on the couch, and I have it, and we'll be watching a movie, and I'm entering away, and I'm just happy because we're just hanging out, and I might have my cup of tea. We're watching a good show, and I'm entering, and I'm dreaming. Ooh, look at this one. We can go here. Oh, I just found one for a car. Put my entry in. Like that's part of the hobby. Part of the hobby is the dreaming, and I don't always win them, but it's the whole process, just enjoying your time and relaxing. And then when the wins come, I learn, I answer every call, even if it says could be spam, because you never know. People go, "I don't answer those." I'm like, but what if it's a win? What if it's a win and it's accidentally marked wrong? Can always block it after if it's spam.
So true. So true. Now, if you had to take everything we talked about today and you had to summarize it, what are some important things you'd like to emphasize about today's conversation?
I think people need to not take life as seriously as we do. Like it is a game, play, have fun, reclaim. I've always said this for maybe the last 30 years. There was that famous Robert Frost poem, and I think the last line is it's always gold. Like you want to look at the world like with fresh eyes and that everything's golden. And appreciate everything. I think it's also part, you probably have noticed this, as you get older, you appreciate the little things like, oh, it's a really nice cup of coffee. And, ooh, my bedroom slippers are so fuzzy. And look at the flowers in my garden. And, oh, look at the sunset tonight. And, oh, I love a warm breeze. And all those things that just usually whiz past us when we're younger and we are trying to get to the future. And now that we're in the future, we're like, okay, we're going to slow down a bit and appreciate the now and look where we are and have that. I think that's what we need to do is just be present, enjoy the moment, don't stress about the things that could be going wrong. Remember, they're projects, not problems, right? And well, I can't remember who said this, but it's all figure outable. I'd love to give credit to that person because it's all figure outable.
I like that. I
And
like
it'll be
that.
okay. It'll be okay.
It'll definitely be okay. I agree. Now, where can people find you?
Well, Words for Winning. If you want to read any of my books and read any of the blogs and hear the audios from Helene and example, And if you want to learn how to win sweepstakes, that's contestqueen.com. Those are my two most favorite places. And if you want to if you have a sweepstakes that you want to market, you can always find me at Idea Majesty, but really everybody wants to learn how to win, so Contest Queen is very popular.
So, are there any other services that you provide
No,
besides my?
I teach people how to win. I help people viral market their giveaways, and I write books teaching people how to win in life.
I love it. I love
Yeah.
it. Oh, wow. This has been great, Carolyn. Carolyn, I'm so glad you came on the show. You've been such an inspiration. And, you took ideas and things that meant something to you and you made them happen. And, and it takes a lot of, resilience, for a woman to, take a dream and make it a reality, because there's lots of obstacles that you have to overcome. And you obviously, you rose above the chaos. You overcame your obstacles and you made all your dreams become a reality. So I have to commend you on that, because you've done a wonderful job with all three businesses, and your stories are very inspiring, very amusing. And I'm so glad you came on the show to show people that anyone could do it if they really put their mind to it. If they put their
Yes.
mind to it and they create a productive plan and they stay consistent, anything's possible.
It's true. And you are also proof of that.
Thank you so much. Well, you know
Thank
what?
you.
Today has been a great day. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I hope you'll be on the show again. And I really enjoyed everything that you shared with us and the audience today. Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
A musician with technical knowledge can play all the right notes. But one who cares enough to play from the heart gives music soul. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
Shooting drills.
A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve. But one who genuinely cares about each player,
you have what it takes. We got this.
Can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.